And we're holding on the cliff of Zion on the bay is 11 lines from the bottom, which are a few lines before the Mishnah. We learned yesterday all about the story of Gehazi, Elisha's Talmud, and where he went wrong, and we said that Elisha pushed him away with both hands, which we said was a mistake, meaning that he pushed him away completely without even giving him a chance to do tshuva, and that was a mistake. He should have given him an opportunity to. So the Gemara says when the pasuk says va'ba anoshim hayu mitzrayim as a hashar, there were four men who were mitzrayim by the entrance of the gate of Shomron, and we have the says Torah for Parshas Mitzora, and then there was a famine going on, there was a siege and a famine, and then they discovered that the Arami camp was empty and everybody went and plundered and so on and so forth. So who were these four people? Amar Rav Yechon, Gehazi u'shloshes banav. It was Gehazi and his three sons. One point is, why we doubt in that is because since it says, Va'abar Nashim Hoyu Mitzeroyim, suggests, as the Gemara sometimes says, Havoya Achas Lekulon, all of them became Mitzeroyim from the same thing. As opposed to if it was just four random Mitzeroyim that happened to be there, it would be something like Va'abar Anoshim Mitzeroyim, it wouldn't say Hoyu, it would put it differently in the sentence. Or something like that. So therefore, so it means Gehazi and his sons got Saras together with him because they helped him hide all the loot that we talked about yesterday. So the Gemara says, Tanya Omer Rav Shimon Elazar, Yetzer, as far as the Yetzer, as far as a person's desire for having relations and for other things in life, Tinek, a child, the Isha, and a woman, in all of them, the left should be pushing away and the right hand bringing closer. Because each of them, you don't want to push, again, you don't want to push them away completely. Rashi explains, as far as the Yetzer of Tashmish, if a person pushes it away completely, then he's reducing the population of the world. He's not doing Kruavu. But if he brings it too close, then he has problems. And the same thing as far as a child or a woman, they're both of them Dait and Kala, and if a person pushes them away completely, they're likely to take it so hard that chas v'shalom they could harm themselves or whatever. So you always have to have then that if there's going to be pushing away, it has to be done with the left, with the weaker hand, and the bringing them closer is done with the stronger right hand. The Gemara continues, Tanan Abban, Gimu Choloyim Chola Elisha. There were three times in his life that Elisha was sick. One was because he incited bears against the boys. You have the story in Malachim where it's the Gemara analyzes it in detail at the end of Sota, where he had just turned the waters of Yericho sweet, and some boys came and they were making fun of him and mocking him and saying, you ruined the place for us, and you're not of the caliber of your Rebbe Elisha, and so forth. And he looked back, the pasuk says, and he cursed them, and two bears came out of the forest and killed 42 of them. So then afterwards, so later on, he was punished for a while with being sick. For the fact that he did that, but after all, these were Jewish children, and no matter what the Gemara says over there, they were empty of mitzvahs, and they all were conceived on Yom Kippur from Averus and so on and so forth. Nevertheless, a yid is a yid, and you don't do that kind of thing unnecessarily. Another one is because he pushed away Gehazi with both hands, which again was saying he shouldn't have done. And then there was a third one many years later where he passed away. Because the pasuk says, Elisha fell sick with the sickness that he passed away from, implying that there were previous ones. And also implying the word, the expression of the pasuk, chola means one sickness, choloy is a second one, ashayomusboy is the third. So therefore we see he was sick three times in his life. The Medrash mentions in that connection, by the way, that he was the first one to be sick, to be dangerously sick and then recover, as we see from this. The Gemara continues in this vein. Ad Avraham, well, actually, here, we're going to have over here. Actually, we're going to have in the Gemara. Ad Avraham loy haya zikna. Until Avraham, there was no such thing as old age, meaning an old person did not look old. The result was, since Avraham and Yitzchak look very much alike, called a chazi l'Avraham, omahai Yitzchak, called a chazi l'Yitzchak, omahai Avraham. A person would see Avraham and he thinks it's Yitzchak, and vice versa. Bo Avraham rachmi, so Avraham daven for rachmanus, de lahevelay zikna, that he should have the signs of old age. Shenemar, Avram Zachen, Baba Yamim, and as the Pasuk says, Avram was old, come into days, and he's the first one of whom the Pasuk says that he was Zachen. In particular, also, that he's the first one of whom the Torah says, Baba Yamim. Actually, you find the expression Zokin earlier by Abraham Sarah, but he says by Abraham many years earlier, Vadoni Zokin. But to say together with it, Baba Yomim, that you have for the first time over here. Ad Yaakov, I have a cholsha. Until Yaakov, you know, there was no such thing as a person was sick. Famous thing from Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, that a person would sneeze and then his neshama would leave through his nose. Barachmi, I have a cholsha. Yaakov daven that there should be weakness, that there should be sickness. That way, a person is sick for a while before he passes away. He knows he's going to die soon. He has time to give instructions to his children and to do tshuva and so forth. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "Vayemel Yosef hinei avicha choila." Yosef was told, "Behold, your father is sick." Which the "behold" hinei suggests this is something a surprising new development. Another example: Ad Elisha, I have an inish cholish to mitpach. Until Elisha, there was no case where a person was sick and then recovered from it. Also, Elisha, bor rachmi v'itpach. Elisha came along and daven for rachmanos that it should be possible for a person to recover from a dangerous illness. Shenemar ve'Elisha cholas cholyash yomos boy. Again, the pasuk that says Elisha fell ill with the sickness from which he passed away, implying that he had had previous sicknesses from which he recovered, and that he's the first one of whom this is recorded. Elsewhere, Mephoshim talk about that. For example, it says that in Bava Basra, it says that Avraham had a precious stone around his neck, and anybody who was sick would look at it and recover. So we see that there was sickness before Yaakov, let alone before Elisha. So one distinction Tosfos makes over there is between a person was injured versus a person is sick with some kind of systemic illness. There, we're talking about a person would recover means if a person was injured. Here, we're talking about falling sick because of a person is sick in bed for because of some internal. Because of some internal cause or something. Now that we went through the various individual people who we said lost the chelik on the mabah, now the Gemara is going to go in the next few Mishnayos through categories of people from various times in Jewish history who lost their place in the mabah. The Mishnah says, "Dirt amabel ain lam chelik on the mabah." The dirt amabel have no portion in the mabah. The in undin badin. And they're not standing up in judgment, meaning that Hashem is not even bringing them alive. Hashem is not bringing them to come alive together with the tzaddikim, even for the purpose of din. Shenema lo yodin ruchi ba'odim la'olam, as the pasuk says, my spirit will not yodin in man forever. So the simple meaning of yodin, the pasuk says over there, on the pasuk Rashi says over there, it means like Hashem is saying there's not going to be that much more time that I'm going to be like deciding and then arguing within myself, so to speak. Should I punish them or should I not? They're going to be punished and that's that. But now the Gemara is understanding lo yodin, they're not going to be standing up for judgment, lo din v'lo ruach, they're not going to be put up to judgment. And they're not going to be given their spirit back by Tchias HaMesim. The Yad Ramah makes the point. They already went through their punishment in this world by being destroyed in the marble. So therefore that's what he says. That means they don't because they already received their punishment in Olam Hazeh and they don't need any more punishment than that.
It's positive. That means that they will come back.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Why are we saying that they're not going to have judgment? So what would it mean? So here, for example, the Mishnah is going to contrast that, for example, with the Dura, with the people of Sodom who are going to be Omdin Badin. So what's the difference between Tchias HaMesim and Omdin Badin? So that's the thing. The Yad Ramah is understanding that Eimlan Chelik Olam Haba means exactly that. It means their neshamas are not going to have a place in Olam Haba, they're not going to have Tchias HaMesim and so forth. In the case of the Dirt HaMabel, they don't even need to be brought alive for the purpose of Din, because they already went through their Din. They don't need any further punishment, as opposed to the people of Sodom. The Gemara is going to go on, the Mishnah is going to go on to say, they do need to be punished, so therefore they're going to be Oimdin Badin. The Meiri actually, and he gives an interesting explanation over here. He says, you know, we have in davening and Shabbos morning davening, in Aruch L'cha Hashem Elokeinu Ba'olam Hazeh, in Zolos Chamakeinu L'chayi Olam Haba, Efes Bil T'cha Gelim L'Moisa Mashiach, Vein Dom L'cha Mashiach and L'Schiyas Amesim. And he explains that these are four different. They are in fact four different stages: Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, Yomoisa Mashiach, and L'Schiyas Amesim. So therefore, so in the Mechelik Olam Haba means that he understands that it means they don't go to Olam Haba, they go straight to Gehenim, and in Limadin means that they're not going to have Tchias Amesim, and they're like this, part of the purpose of Tchias Amesim, we learned at the beginning of the parak, is for Rishoyim, is for the body and the Neshama to be put together, so they can be judged. With them, that's not going to happen. So Loi Din V'Loi Ruach, they're not going to be judged, and there's no spirit. Derach Floga in Lam Chelik Lam Abba, also the generation of the Derach Floga, the generation that built the Tower of Babel, and then they were scattered all over the world, also in Lam Chelik Lam Abba. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Vayofetz Hashem Oisim Mishama Pnei Chol Ha'aretz, Hashem scattered them from there over the face of the whole earth. Uchtiv, and the Pasuk continues, and Mishama Hefitzam, and from there he scattered them. So that means Vayofetz Hashem Oisim Ba'olam Hazeh, Hashem scattered them in this world physically, that they were scattered into different countries. And lost their languages and all that. And what it says, Hashem scattered them from there, means Olam Haba, they have no chelik in it. Next, Anshei Sdoim Ein Lam Chelik Olam Haba, the people of Sdoim, the people who were overturned in Sdoim, also have no chelik Olam Haba. Shenema, but Anshei Sdoim Roim V'Chatoim LaHashem Ma'od. One thing we should realize, by the way, I mean, we usually talk about Olam Haba for Jews, as we learned a couple of dafim ago, the better almost the Olam, the Chassidim almost the Olam, are getting a place in Olam Haba. But that's all talking about that distinction is all after Matan Torah. These groups that we're talking about over here were all before Matan Torah, so there's not really a sharp distinction between Jews and Goyim. So had they been decent people, at least they'd have Tchias Amesim in order to be rejudged for what they did in the world. But he was saying that the people of Sodom, they have no chelik l'olam haba, their neshamas don't go to Gan Eden. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Anshei Sodom roim v'chatoim l'Hashem ma'od, they were evil and sin, they were very evil and sinful to Hashem. So the double expression means roim v'olam hazeh v'chatoim l'olam haba. So there's still going to be chatoim in Olam Haba, which means their sins are still going to be with them, and therefore they don't have a place in Olam Haba. It can also mean Chatoyim, Meloshim lacking, so therefore it means they're going to be lacking Olam Haba. Avol Oimdin Badin. However, they are going to stand up in judgment, meaning they were punished in this world, but they're still going to need further judgment and punishment in Olam Haba. The Yad Ramah says that unlike the Dura Mabel, where they're being wiped out was a complete punishment for them, here for the Anshei Sodom, it needs to be more than that. Maybe the difference is, because the Dura Mabel, they went through, you had the whole process with the water getting higher and higher and them gradually drowning, as opposed to Anshei Sodom, it was all of a sudden one big thing where they were turned over. In any case, so they're on the Madin. Rab Nechemia says, no, Elu v'Elu ain't on the Madin. No, both groups are not on the Madin, meaning that the people of Sodom don't stand up for judgment either. Now, when he says Elu ve'Elu, so Rashi explains the Dura Mabel and the people of Sodom. So Rav Nechemia is not arguing on two things. The Tanakhama had already said the Dura Mabel doesn't stand up for din, but the Tanakhama had said the people of Sodom do, and Rav Nechemia is saying they're both in the same category. On the other hand, the Tosfos Yom Tov understands that maybe Rav Nechemia is coming to argue on the Dura Floga and the people of Sodom. So Rav Nechemia would be saying, Hugh, you mentioned Tanakama, you mentioned the people of Dura Floga have no chelik l'olam haba. You didn't say whether they're oinin badin or not. So I want to tell you that they're not standing in judgment, and neither are the people of Sodom. Anyway, Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Al kein lo yakumu reshoyim b'mishpat, therefore the reshoyim will not stand up in judgment, the chatoyim and the sinners ba'adas tzadikim will not stand in the group, in the congregation of tzadikim. So the double expression, Al kein lo yakumu reshoyim b'mishpat, ze dor ha'mabel, the reshoyim of that Pasuk refers to the dor ha'mabel, as the Pasuk says on them, ki rabba ro'asa odom, the evil of the people was very great, and therefore they're called the ultimate reshoyim. And when it says Chatoyim will not stand in the congregation of the Tzadikim, Elu Anshei Sodom, that refers to the people of Sodom who were described as Chatoyim L'Hashem Ma'od. Omruloi, so the Chacham answered back to him, on the contrary, Einim Oimdim Badat Tzadikim. No, that pasuk means the exact opposite of what you're saying. It means they're not going to be standing in the congregation of the Tzadikim, Avol Oimdim Badat Rishoyim, but they're going to be standing in the congregation of the Rishoyim and be judged for what they did wrong. So therefore, so no, on the contrary, that doesn't mean they're not going to be standing up for judgment and they receive their punishment in this world and that's that. No, on the contrary, it means they need to be rejudged and further punished. Okay. The Mishnah continues. Now, these next few lines are in parenthesis because it's going to be repeated in the next Mishnah. Meraglim ein lam chelik lam abba. The meraglim have no place in lam abba. Shenema vayamuso hanoshim letzia devas ha'orat zroa v'magayfa lifnei Hashem, because the pasuk says about them that they died in a plague in front of Hashem. The double expression means vayamuso ba'olam hazeh v'magayfa la'olam abba, means they died in means. Actually, no, this is in parenthesis actually because it's not part of the Mishnah. It's originally part of a brisa. The double expression, they died, and in a plague means in Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba respectively. In other words, because otherwise the pasuk would have said Vayamusu and Vamageifa together, and it would mean they died of a plague. Since it has them separately, then it means that we're talking about something separate that Ein Lam Chelik Olam Haba. The Meraglim already, they were originally Tzadikim. There's a lot of discussion about what that means with them and with the next group, the Dor HaMidbar, that it talks about over here. There's an interesting explanation. There's an interesting explanation in particular about the Dor HaMidbar that's brought from Rabbi Elimelech Lizhensker, that he says it means on the contrary. They were so high, they're so such elevated people that on the contrary, they don't need to wait for Olam Haba to have the full reward for their neshamas. They have it, they can have it even without Olam Haba. A variation on that is, after all, Olam Haba is only Giluyim of the course, and no higher than that they have of the course itself. So maybe the same thing with the Meraglim. Anyway, again, it's in parenthesis because it's not part of the original Mishnah. It's a Braisa that was stuck in over here. Next, Dor HaMidbar, Ein Lam Chelik Olam Haba. The Dor HaMidbar, all the people who were in the Midbar, have no Chelik Olam Haba. The Ein Oimdin Badin, and they also don't have to stand up for judgment. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Bamidbar, the Itamu, the Shom Yamusu, as the Pasuk says, in this desert, they will disappear, and there they will die, which again, the double expression means in Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Dibir Rabbi Akiva. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, of course they have a place in Olam Haba. Aleihem u'Omer, the pasuk says about such important, about those people, the Dor HaMidbar, who were the generation who received the Torah, Isfuli Chassidai, gather together to me my Chassidim, Kursei Vrisi Alei Zavach, the ones who made the covenant with me over a korban, which refers to the covenant of Matan Torah and the korbanos that they brought before it. So they were the generation that received the Torah. So how can you tell me that they lost their place in Olam Haba? Therefore, no. In fact, they do have a place in Olam Haba. Now the Meraglim themselves are part of the Dor HaMidbar. So Maharal Shah actually points out that, you know, why do they have to be listed separately, and why does Rabbi Akiva need a separate pasuk for the Dor HaMeraglim? So he says, because since we have an extra pasuk for the Meraglim, then Rabbi Akiva is saying that no, it means the Dor HaMidbar Ein Lam Chelik Olam Haba, meaning they will be rejudged, but they lost their place in Olam Haba. But then the Meraglim are even more serious, that Ein Oimdin Badin, that the Meraglim are more serious. He learns that the Meraglim are going to be brought up for judgment and rejudged and repunished, as opposed to the rest of the Dor HaMidbar doesn't need for that. According to him, it comes out that Ein Oimdin Badin is a better thing. It means, again, that they don't need to be rejudged. They already received their punishment in this world. The Gemara is going to wonder later on, why is Rabbi Akiva doing that? Why isn't Rabbi Akiva defending Jews, as we know he always would do? So we'll deal with that. The Gemara is going to deal with that later on Daf Kuf Yud. The Mishnah continues. Adas Korach Eina Asid Alalas. The congregation of Korach, who was swallowed up in the ground, are not going to come out again. They're not going to come up from where they fell into. Again, you have the double expression in the pasuk. The ground covered them up, and they were lost from among the congregation. So therefore, that means that in both Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, they're gone. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, again, Rabbi Eliezer says, no, Aleihem Omer. The pasuk says on them, Hashem Memes Umchaya, Hashem kills and brings alive, murdered Sha'ol, Hashem brings people down to the grave and to Gehenim, by Yoal, and he brings them up. So therefore, and that pasuk, which actually said by Chana, who herself, she and her husband Elkanah, were descended from Korach, and Elkanah, it says on him that he was descended from Korach, who is who it doesn't, but the Medrash, I think, says that she was as well. She was a distant relative of Elkanah, and then they were married. So therefore, she's saying about them that, no, they are going to come up. They're not going to be lost forever. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Dordam Tana Rabbanan." We learn in the Brayis that "Dordam Mabul Ein Laim Chelik Lamba." Shenema, as the pasuk says, as it said in the Mishnah, "Vayivu." Well, a different pasuk. The Gemara, the Mishnah had brought the pasuk. Lo yodin ruchi ba'olam, but here it's written different. By yimachas kolayikuma, shirapnei ha'adama, Hashem destroyed, Hashem erased all the existences that were on the face of the earth, a man and an animal and so forth. So by yimachas kolayikuma, ba'olam azeh, by yimachum in ha'aretz ba'olam abba. The pasuk has a double expression again. They were erased all of the existences from this world, and they were erased from the earth. So that means olam azeh and olam abba. We sometimes suppose the word "fine." The word "eretz" is used of Olam Haba, like "be'eretz hachayim." So therefore, so it means they were wiped out from Olam Haba as well. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, as it said in our Mishnah, "Loi chayin v'lo nidonim." They're not coming alive in Olam Haba, and they're not being judged for their sins. Shenema, as we learned in the Mishnah, as it said, "Lo yodin ruchi ba'odam la'olam." My spirit will not judge man forever. "Loi din v'lo ruach." So it means, like it says in the Mishnah, they won't be brought up for judgment, and they're not going to be given back their ruach for tchiyas amesim. Dover Acha, another explanation. Lo yodin ruchi shaloi tei nishmas and chazeres v'nidana. Another explanation takes the word yodin as related to the word nidan, which means the sheath of a sword. The sheath, the container in which you put a sword. So therefore, that's used as a metaphor for the body, which is like a sheath for the neshama. So it means that their neshama won't return to nidana, to its sheath, and be enclosed in the body again, because, in other words, they're not going to be, they're not coming alive for Tchiyas HaMeisim, and they're not being judged like that. Rabbi Nachum bar Yosef Omer, Afilu b'shoah shehakadosh baruch hu machzir neshamos tefilot ha'meisim, it means that even when Hashem is restoring the neshamos to dead bodies by Tchiyas HaMeisim, even then, nishmasim kosher lahem b'gehenim, means the people of the Dor HaMabul, their neshamos are still going to be suffering harshly in Gehenim. Rashi says, actually, Nishmas and Koshalam ki Gehenim means their own Nishamas are going to be the source of the Gehenim that burns them. In other words, from them themselves comes out the fire that burns their bodies and that destroys them. Kanema, as the Pasuk says, Taharu Chashash. You're being pregnant with chashash, which is a type of straw. Tildukash, and you give birth to straw. Ruchachem, esh techalchem, your spirit, fire, will consume you. So we see, with the neshama itself becomes a fire that destroys the goof. That's what's going to happen to them. So in other words, it sounds like Rabbi Nachum and Rabbi Yosi is saying their neshamas will be returned to their bodies, unlike the other opinions, but not that they should have a pleasant tchias amesim, but rather, on the contrary, at that point, the body will be reconstituted, and then the neshama will destroy it from within. But again, the mainstream opinion is they have no tchias amesim, and it's even brought in that connection that when, usually a person has a loose bone that's left over, by the Dorah Mabul, it says, according to that's brought, that even the loose bone by them was destroyed because they're not coming alive by tchias amesim, and therefore there's no need for it. Okay. The Gemara continues. Let's talk about the Dorah Mabul in detail. The reason they became such Balei Gaiva and went so bad is because of the goodness that Hashem bestowed upon them. And in various places in Kabbalah and Chassidus, it talks about that most of the Dorah Mabul was during the first millennium of human history, and that's the world history, and during that time it was Midas HaChesed. So the Ebeshe is giving them Chesed without restriction, and therefore that caused them to go wrong. What does it say on them? So Eov, in one of his speeches where he's complaining about why it is that Rishoyim often have it successful, so the Gemara quotes several psukim from his speech. Batehem shalom mipachad. Their houses are peaceful and they suffer no fear. V'loy shevet elaka alehem. And the rod, the stick, the punishing rod of Hashem is not on them, so they're never afraid of anything, and no punishment ever happens to them. Uchtiv, and then the next pasuk continues. Shurei ibar v'loy yagil. Their cattle become pregnant and they never and their oxen cause the females to become pregnant. The Lord Yagil, and he never rejects the Zera. Every time that their animals mate, it's always going to produce offspring. To file it Parosav Lois Shakil, the cows give birth and they never miscarry, so they have tremendous hatzlocha in their gashmiyistic things. He continues, Yishalcho Chatzoyin Avilehem, they send forth their children like sheep, the Yaldehem Yirakedun, and their Avilehem means their young children, the Yaldehem Yirakedun, and their children dance, which means, in other words, that, among other things, it means that the children were born fully grown, they're already able to take care of themselves. Like they give birth to them, and immediately they're able to go and dance and take care of themselves. The Medrash has an expression, and a woman would give birth in those days, and then she would tell the baby, go fetch me a pair of scissors to cut your umbilical cord. So like that's how capable they were even when they were born. Uchtiv, and the pasuk continues, Yisu b'soif v'chinar. They lift up their voices and song with drums and with harps. The yisbachul akol ugav, and they're happy with the sound of the ugav, another musical instrument, a lyre or whatever. Ochtiv, and the pasuk continues. Yivalu yameihem batoiv. They spend their lives in good. Ushnoisim baneimim, and their years in pleasantness. So they live long and they have a lot of that, and they have no tzaras. Ochtiv, and the pasuk says v'rega. In one moment, she'ol yechatu, they would go down to the grave, which means, in other words, like it means that even when they died, they would die without yisurim or anything. They just go. One minute they're alive, and the next minute they're dead, and they suffered nothing. So now. That tremendous goodness of all kinds. Vehi gorma lahem, vehi gorma, but that cause, as the pasuk continues over there, So the word Yivalu, by the way, that says over here, Yivalu, but Yumehem Batoy, Batoy Yumehem is actually how it says in the pasuk, whatever. Now this cause that the pasuk says over there, that they said to Hashem, Surmi Menu, turn away from us, the Das Rechecha Lechafatzu, we don't want to know your ways. Ma shaka kinavdenu, and they continue, what is Hashem that we should serve him? Uma noyo kinifka boy, and what good will it accomplish if we daven to Hashem? So in other words, they had such all that goodness, so they thought they don't need Hashem, they thought they can handle everything themselves. So again, this is all part of a speech that Eev is giving to his friends. So you're trying to explain to me that I'm having all of these troubles and suffering that I'm having because I did something wrong. But you see that there were greater Rishoyim, there were much greater Rishoyim in history who had a very pleasant experience of it. So why is there Rosh of a Toivloi? So Omru, they said, look, they said, what do we need Hashem for? Just for drops of rain. We have rivers and springs from which we can get enough water. So we don't need the rain at all. You find that in a later time it was like that in Mitzrayim, for example. In Mitzrayim, it almost never rains. They had the Nile, and therefore they ended up thinking of the Nile as a god and ignoring Hashem altogether. So Marshall explains, in other words, they agreed that Hashem created the world, but they thought that Hashem gave it over to people, and therefore the only thing we would need him on an ongoing basis for is this, and not even that. So Hashem says, look at this, the very goodness that I gave them, that they have so much plentiful water, with that they're angering me and they're saying they don't need me. You know what? With that very thing is what I'm going to judge them. Maybe it's a marble mayim. Hashem brought the marble of water. So what's the va'ani? Means also me. Just like you, Hashem is reciprocating. Just like you were talking regarding water, the same way I'm going to judge you and punish you using water. Rabbi Yossi, Omar Rabbi Yossi says, another way of looking at it, Dura Mabel and his go of the Shul Gaugala Ayan Shadurim Lamayim. The reason the Dura Mabel became so proud and thought they could do whatever they want is because of the eyeball which resembles water. Most of the eye is made out of water. So in other words, they saw what was going on, all the goodness that they had. And Rashi actually says it means the springs, actually, the springs that come out of various places in the ground, they come out of a small hole in the ground resembling an eye socket. So therefore, that's another way of saying that they were proud because of the plentiful water supply. Another way of understanding it means that we're talking about because they looked with their eyes and they saw all the goodness that they had. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "Vayikolhem noshim mikol asher b'choru." They took for themselves wives from whoever they chose, as we'll learn later on that means, in other words, even from people they're not supposed to be marrying at all. So lefichas don oisem b'mayim. Therefore, Hashem punished them with water. Shedoyim legagol ayin, where again water resembles the eye, and it means, in other words, that the water of the marble came out from holes in the ground, from the springs underground that resemble eye sockets. Shenema nivku komayin oistohim rabba. So that's what it is. Sorry, I said it wrong. The nisgo b'shvo galgal ayin means again that they were looking at all the goodness that they had, and they thought that's all we have, everything, and we don't need Hashem. And the result was they were punished with water, which is like the galgal ayin in the sense that springs come out of holes in the ground that resemble eye sockets. So in fact, the word ayin itself, spring, also means an eye. Shenema nivku komayin oistohim rabba. All the fountains of the great deep were opened up. Arubas teshamayin niftachu, and the windows of Shemayim were open. So in other words, the point is that Mayanos is related to the word ayin, and it means they sin with their eyes, and therefore they're punished with ayin, which means an eye. The Gemara continues, they did wrong. The way they did wrong is described as Rabba, and the way they were punished is also described as Rabba. Hashem saw that the evil of mankind was great. Over Rabba Nidonu, Shenema Kol Mayanos Tohim Rabba, all the fountains of the great deep. So the same word Rabba is used in order to stress this point that their punishment fit the way that they were acting in a way of Rabba. Ben Yehoyada makes a point that their main averus was Znus and Avodah Zarah, and in particular with Znus, you have the natural thing would be as a person gets older, they have less of a taiva for it, as opposed to Avodah Zarah. The older a person gets, the more of a taiva he has for it, because he becomes more and more foolish. So therefore, their averus were increasing, Rabba, and therefore Hashem is bringing on them an ever increasing flood of water. The Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Now, so we have all fountains of all underground fountains came opened up and started pouring out hot water. As we know, the marble water was boiling, as we're going to learn later. So all of them were closed up at the end of the marble, but Shloshen is Shtayin Mehem, there were three of them left over. Blua together, V'chametveria, the Eina Rabsi, the Biram, these three hot springs that are still left in a new Eretz Yisrael, those three were left at the end of the marble. There are many other hot springs in various places in the world. We're focusing on the ones in the area of Eretz Yisrael. The pasuk says, "Kihishches kol basar es darkei al ha'aretz." Everybody had all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. So, what's this all flesh? This means that people were crossbreeding domestic animals with wild animals, v'chayal behema, and wild with domestic, v'hakol al odam, and all kinds of animals, domestic and wild with people, v'odam al hakol, and people committing bestiality with all kinds of animals. The Medrash actually says that the animals themselves were also going wrong and then mating with not their own kind. So one explanation is, in fact, people started them on that, and then they developed those tendencies, and then that became their natural instincts, and they started doing it themselves also. Rab Abba Bar Kahana says, after the marble, all of the creatures went back to go back to the way things are supposed to be. They only mate with their kind, chutz mi tushalmi, with the exception of a type of bird called tushalmi, which is still very promiscuous and will mate with any other kind of bird. Even after the marble, Rashi refers to a Gemara in Cholin that mentions there were eight types of birds where there's a suffix whether they're kosher or not, and one of them that's listed over there is the Tushalmi. So it's a promiscuous bird; it doesn't stick with its own kind. The Gemara goes on. The pasuk says, the end of all flesh has come before me. Come and see how strong is the power of robbery. And by the way, the Yerushalmi mentions and the Medrash mentions that the chomos that they were doing in those days was kind of like legalized robbery. The famous idea, each person would take one bean from a pile or one splinter from a fence, and pretty soon there's no beans to sell and there's no fence, and everybody would say, yeah, but I took less than a pruta, and therefore you can't get me in court. So that kind of thing. So you see how powerful that is. Shadurah Mabel, Ovru ala Kol. They were over on all kinds of Averis. But the Gzaudin was only sealed on them only after they put their hands forth to do Gezel, to steal, and to rob. As the pasuk says, "Ki mala arutz chomas mifneihem." The earth is full of chomas because of them. V'hini mashchitzam as arutz, and therefore I'm going to destroy them together with the earth. So there's a lot of reasons that Mephoshim give why it is, what is so bad about Gezel. One point is because it's the Rabbeinu Bechaya, and the pasuk makes a point. It's one of those mitzvahs that it's a very seichel dika thing. It's a very logical thing that you can't steal. So therefore, so mela, in other words, if they were over, let's say on a rayas, okay, you know, a person might think, you know, I have a taiva and they're available, and why not? But Gezel, it seems an obvious thing that you need to respect somebody else's property and not deprive them from it improperly, and therefore. And therefore they were punished for that. Other Mephoshim point out, in that case, then what about, I mean, there were many other mitzvahs, sichlius, in that case, why aren't they being punished for that? So there's a few points, and one interesting point is that here, the Be'er Sheva on our Gemara also brings this point that's very logical. So he says, no, like this, in Pirkei Avos it says that the world stands ala din v'ala emes v'ala shalom. So now they were stealing, and therefore there's no emes and there's no shalom, and there's no din either, because the judges themselves are ganavim, then therefore the world has nothing to, has nothing left to stand on. And he goes on to say another point as well is because Ben Adam Lachaveroi and then the victim cries out and therefore Hashem answers, so that was more serious. It means that Hashem, the person doesn't believe that Hashem is giving him. Yeah, there's that too. Another interesting point actually that's made is that after all, where usually Hashem can punish a person by taking away his money, his property. But if a person steals, then his property is not his anyway. So therefore, so there's no good. There's no point in taking it away from him. So therefore, there's no choice. They have to be punished with their actual bodies. This is the Maloya Omer brings this idea. So the Gemara continues. Uchtiv, here is another pasuk. This pasuk is from Yechezkel in context. It's talking about the sins of the Jewish people before Churban Bayis Shlishi, but the Gemara is going to darish in it about this period of the Dura Mabel as well. Hachomos kom l'matei resha. The chomos, this robbery and violence, has stood up and become a stick, a rod of wickedness. Loy mehem, not from them. Veloy mehem moinam, and not from their multitude. Veloy mehem mehem, and not Mehem Mehem, which various Mephoshim on the Pasuk have different explanations of it. Rashi over here translates it that it means their tumult, their noise, and their all of the excitement that they do, that they put into the world. Hashem is saying, I don't want any part of it. I'm not going to allow that. And in other words, basically, Rashi is saying, Hashem is saying, I'm not going to allow that. No, Rashi translates it as mahus, their existence. Mehem mehem means their very existence. So Hashem is saying, I don't want them. I'm going to get rid of them. Or mehem moinam, their whole multitude and noisiness and everything, or their very existence. V'loi noi ahbahem, and there's no noi ahbahem in them. In the context of the pasuk, Mephoshim explain, means nobody is sighing and nobody is krechting and saying, you know, I really need to do tshuva. Everybody is very comfortable and satisfied with what they're doing. But the Gemara was so here it means, in other words, that hachomas kom l'mate resha, the wicked, the chomas, the violence and the robbery that they did, that itself stood up as a stick with which Hashem is going to punish them. So that means Amar Rabbi Elazar Melamed Shachzokaf Atzmei Kamakel means that the violence itself stood up in front of Hashem like a stick. V'Omer Lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and stood before Hashem. V'Omer Lefanav, and it accuses the people to Hashem, and it says, Ribbono Shel Olam, loy mehem, there's no goodness coming out of them, the loy meham moinam, there's nothing from the increase from all of their hamoin, their multitude, their huge amount of money, all their large crowds and everything, there's no good in them at all, the loy mehem, not from mehem, which again Rashi over here translates as their existence, and Meforshim on the Pasuk explains, Rashi on the Pasuk explains that it means their children. So there's nobody, and there's nobody who wants to follow Hashem. There's nobody who's sighing and saying that I want to follow Hashem. The Afal Noach Nechtem Gzaudin. In fact, the Gzaudin was even originally against Noach Shenema, because when the pasuk says V'loy Noach Behem, we douse in it V'loy Noach Behem, and there's no Noach among them either, meaning Noach himself is not any better than them, except that the Noach Motzachin Be'enei Hashem. So Tonet Ve Rabbi Shmuel, we learn in a brisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, exactly that. Af on Noach Nechta Gzaudin, the Gzaudin was also put on Noach as well, because the world goes according to the Roiv, and because, as the Gemara is going to say, Noach was not necessarily such an outstanding tzaddik compared to everybody else. Elashon Motzachin, but any Hashem, but he found special favor in Hashem's eyes, and Hashem therefore judged him favorably. Shenema, Hashem says, Nichamti ki asisim, the Noach Motzachin be any Hashem. Hashem says that I regret that I created them, but Noach found favor in Hashem's eyes. We doubtin as if the word v'noyach goes together with the end of the pasuk. Ki nichamti ki asisim v'noyach, that Hashem says, I regret that I created them, the Rishoyim, as well as Noyach. But then Motzachin be'enei Hashem, but then Hashem instead puts Noyach in a separate pasuk and makes him find favor in Hashem's eyes and goes with him lefnei mishuras hadin. But otherwise, since the world follows the Roiv, then Noyach would have been destroyed as well. The pasuk says, this pasuk is by Nochem Hashem, ki osa es ha'anam ha'aretz, Hashem regretted that he made man in the world. So now, one thing is that the Gemara is going to understand the word vayinochem, we're translating as regretted, and Rashi brings on the pasuk over there. You have that it means that Hashem consoled himself, and it means Rashi brings over there the story with a goy who asks Rabbi Yossi, doesn't Hashem know the future? And Rabbi Yossi explains to him each thing in its own time. You're happy when your child is born, and then a person is sad if his child dies, etc. But here the Gemara is understanding vayinochem as in Hashem consoled himself and said, you know what, at least it's not as bad as it could have been. So ki author of Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar, he explained, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yofa Osisi Shetikantilem Kvoris V'Oretz. I did well by setting up that people are buried in the ground. So Vayinochem is Meloshin Nechama. So that's V'Oretz. This way, at least people don't live forever and continue to do Averis forever. So in other words, as bad as things are, it could have been worse. I could have made people immortal, and then they'd go on sinning forever. The Yad Ramah explains, in other words, explains differently. He says it's a good thing that there were previous generations from whom Noach could come. Now it's time for the Mabul. Whoever's around now, except for Noach and his family, are going to be wiped out. But it's a good thing that I made the earlier generations, where even though they didn't live up to what they were supposed to either, at least Noach the Tzaddik came out of them. So where do we see my mashma? How do we see that vayinochem means like that? Meloshen nechama. Ksiv hocha vayinochem Hashem. Ksiv osim vayinachem osim vayidaber al libam. We find that Yosef comforted his brothers and spoke to their hearts and made them happy. So we see that the word vayinochem can be an expression of simcha. The Ikadamri, on the other hand, those who say that no, Hashem is saying, Lo yofa asisi shetekantilem kvoros v'aretz, I didn't do so well that I made them graves in the ground. It would have been better if I kept them alive, and that way they would maybe do tshuva. So vayinochem Hashem, according to that, would be that, so to speak, Hashem regrets that. Vayinochem Hashem on the rosh, that Hashem, so to speak, regretted what he was going to do, what he was going to do to the people. So here also, the Yad Ramah explains that it means that Hashem is saying that it's too bad in a way that I did that, that I arranged for the earlier generations that they got buried. Why didn't I bring the marble earlier? What it means, b'chlal, when we talk about Hashem regretting, of course, Hashem is beyond time. Those sichas where the Rebbe talks about the idea, when you regret something means you wanted it earlier, you don't want it now. So with Hashem, when we talk about Hashem regretting something, so to speak, means in a way Hashem wants it and doesn't want it at the same time, which means that there's a nesinas koyach for either one. There's room for there to be a certain way, but there's also room for there to be the opposite of it. Pusik's Ela told us, Noach, these are the generations of Noach. Noach is tzaddik, tamim haya b'dayroisel. Noach was a man, a tzaddik, perfect in his generations. So here we have the famous drasha, Amar Rabbi Yochanan b'dayroisel v'loy b'dayros acherim. He was perfect in his own generations, but not in other generations. In other generations, such as, for example, the generation of Avraham, the Medrash says, then he wouldn't have been much, then he wouldn't have been considered anything. Reshlokesh says, even in his generation, where they were a shoyim, he was a tzaddik, all the more so, if he had lived in other generations, he would have been a greater tzaddik. So there's a huge number of explanations why Rabbi Yochanan would think to darshan lignai. If we can darshan l'shvach, like Reshlokesh does, why does Rabbi Yochanan darshan lignai? And there's a lot of different reasons explained about it. Among other things, is this way we learn that even great tzaddikim have their detractors, have people who speak against them. You shouldn't think that a tzaddik is only somebody that everybody loves him, because we see here that Noach is described as a tzaddik, and here we can douch in a lignai. It means that, that's one point. It means that after all, Noach didn't daven for his generation, so therefore we should hold that against him, and we shouldn't think of him. The Rebbe talks about this in a sicha. We shouldn't think that he's the perfect example of what a tzaddik should be. Adrabba, we should realize that he didn't do well, and that itself helps him, helps his neshama, that we learn from him, that lesson to not be a tzaddik in pelts. And there's an enormous number of other explanations of why we're doushening of him lignai when we could have doushened him l'shvach. Rav Levick, the Rebbe's father, makes a point about it also. You know, that generation were from Olam HaToyhu. So here you have Rabbi Yochanan himself is to begin with from Olam HaTikun. Therefore, he can't tolerate the idea of people who are from Olam HaToyhu. And therefore, he says, fine, Noach was better than the people of his times, but only by comparison. But he wouldn't have been much in another time. Whereas Reish Lakish himself, who lived a life of Toyhu and then came to Tikun, he recognizes, you know what, listen, it's a very good thing when a person lives in Toyhu and then transforms himself and becomes a tikkun person like myself, then it's a very good thing indeed.
You think through the whole Gemara, you see the same Rabbi Yochanan and
Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokesh,
the same potential between two, and you see it.
Yeah, you don't have necessarily this particular machlokas, but yeah, you often have machlokas in between them.
In other things.
Yeah. In fact, Reb Levick points out over there that the very name Reish Lakish equals the same number of years that Noach lived, 950. So indicating that he has a certain underlying connection with Noach. So the Gemara says, Omer Rav Oshia, Omer Rav Chanina, Moshel de Rav Yechanan, L'mo'ab Dover Doma, what can we compare the statement of Rav Yechanan to? L'chovis Shoyayin, Shoyis Monachah,
Alexander.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to say that, to judge Lignai, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't judge him Lignai. How do you explain that?
No, there's no question that he was better than the people of his times. What we're saying, there's no question he was better than the people of his times, but we did say before there was a gzar din on him as well, and Hashem spared him only because of special chesed, so therefore Rabbi Yochanan is saying that he was a tzaddik only relative to that generation, and therefore, yeah, of course, that particular thing is l'shvach, that he remained a tzaddik when everybody around him was corrupt. But all Rabbi Yochanan is saying is that in a time of Avraham Avinu, he wouldn't have been considered very much, because relative to Avraham Avinu, he's not much of a tzaddik. The Medrash mentions more points about it. Avraham was able to walk by himself in front of Hashem. Noach needs to be assisted. His halach Noach suggests that Hashem needs to give him special siyata d'shnaya. So yeah.
Rabbi Yochanan is not saying
that he was a rocha. Rabbi Yochanan is just saying relative to tzaddikim of later generations, he's not really that much.
But it's not relative. Every tzaddik is judged within his generation. You cannot judge from one generation to another.
Well, that's effectively what Reish Lakish is saying. But Rabbi Yochanan is saying you can. That Noach could have been better. In particular, again, based on that explanation of the Rebbe, Noach was based on a Zohar, ultimately. Noach could have davened for his generation. He could have been like Avraham Avinu, who davened for Sodom. He could have been like Moshe Avinu, who davened for the people, after the Jewish people, after the Chet Egel. And Noach didn't, and therefore that's a mark against him.
So if that's the case, why did he find Chen in a Kaddish Baruch Hu's
eyes? Because relative to them, he was a tzaddik. He was himself personally a tzaddik. He was just, as the famous expression goes, a tzaddik in pelts. He didn't care enough about the people of his generation to try to get them to sincerely get them to do tshuva.
Okay. It's a hard logic. It's a hard logic.
But nevertheless, that's how it is. That person is expected. Something is expected of a person, and Rabbi Yochanan expects that he could have done more than he did. So
Rabbi Yochanan is expecting more than Hashem then? Is that what we're saying?
Okay. We're not saying, nobody's saying more than Hashem. Hashem spared him because relative to them, he was a tzaddik. That doesn't mean he wasn't, that doesn't mean that he was the best tzaddik he could have been. Rabbi Yochanan says he was not. He could have been a better tzaddik. But nevertheless, he's not disagreeing that he was a tzaddik. Okay, all right. We need to go on. So Amar Rav Chanina, Moshal Rav Yechon Lamad Dover Dreimer. What is this Moshal of Rav Yechon like? Lachavas Troyayin Troysim Unachas B'Mautav Shochoymet. So a barrel of wine that's sitting in a whole cellar full of vinegar. V'Mekoyma in its place relative to the vinegar Reichon Noidif. That's its smell, its aroma is. It's noticeable and it smells good. Shaloi b'mekayma, but if you were to put it by itself, in reicha noydif, then its smell wouldn't be so noticeable. The same way, noyach and a generation of tzaddikim wouldn't have been outstanding as a tzaddik. Amar Rav Oshia, Moshal did a shlokish to ma'ab davadayma. What can we compare the shlokish to? L'tzloichas shalpal yotin. It's like a flask of fragrant oil. Shalisim unachas b'mokam atinoifis, which was located in a filthy place. B'mekayma, even in that filthy place, reicha noydif, it still has a great aroma. How much more so it would smell good if it was in a place together with other spices. So therefore, again, according to Rish Lakish, Noach would have been that much greater of a tzaddik if he had had other tzaddikim to associate with. And again, one point is that it teaches us that even an incomplete tzaddik is still a tzaddik. That even Noach, even if we say lignai about him, nevertheless, he's still a tzaddik as the Torah calls him just that. The pasuk says, "Vayimachas kol ha'yikum asher apnei ha'adama." Hashem wiped out all of the existences on the face of the earth. So that means the animals as well. So the question is, "Im adam chata behema machata." Even the people sin. How did the animals sin? But now we said before that the animals were cross mating. But first of all, Marsha points out, first of all, they weren't given a mitzvah not to do that. And second of all, we said people were making them do that. They weren't doing that on their own. But in any case, even if we say, like the Rambam says, where they ended up doing it on their own, they were never given a tzivui not to do that. So why would they do wrong? The answer is Tana, Mishum Rabbi Yishuv ben Kocha, Moshal Adam Shasa Chuppah Libnoi. It's like a person makes a chuppah for his son, the hiskin the kol minei soda, and he prepared all the different kinds of dishes that you need for the soda. L'yomim nes b'noi, shortly afterwards his son died, Omar Bilbo, the Rupizer, as chuppose. So he went and scattered everything that he had prepared for the chuppah. Omar, he says, did I prepare any of this for my son? Achshav shemes, now that my son has died, chuppah lamali, what do I need a chuppah for? Afa Kodesh Baruch Hu, Omar, the same way, Hashem says the same thing, klum barasi, behema v'chaya, ela b'shvil adam, the whole reason I created wild animals and domestic animals is for the sake of humanity. Achshav she'adam chote, but if the people are sinning and they're going to be destroyed in the marble, behema v'chaya lamali, who needs the behemas and chayas? However, the pasuk says, "Mikola shebachoro v'besu." Everything that was in dry land died. So that means v'loy dogim shebayam, not the fish in the sea. So one thing is that they were. When the pasuk says, "Kihishchas chavosu as dauke ala oretz," that every creature on the earth had corrupted its way. That implies only on the ala oretz also means on the land. So it means only the creatures on the land, not the sea creatures. They had not become corrupted, and they had not interbred with other species. Therefore, they don't have to be destroyed in the marble. Marsha points out, by the way, that the Gemara is going to tell us later on that the marble water was boiling. So how did the fish survive it? And the answer is it was boiling in the places where there had been land, but in the places that were ocean and sea all the time before that, then the water was not hot. So therefore, the fish could survive. With that said, geologists have found fossils of fish on high mountains and things like that. So it's not like all the fish survived the marble. There must have been some of them that were killed during the marble, and therefore their remains end up on high mountains like that because those mountains would have been underwater during the marble. The Gemara continues, Darash Rav Yosi dimin Kesri. Rav Yosi from Kesri gave the following Darash. My dichtiv, a pasuk says in Eov, again, this is another one of Eov's speeches where he's talking about why it is that there's Rosh of a Tovloi. He says, Kalhu al pnei mayim, he is light on the surface of the water, to kulal chalkosim ba'aretz, their portion in the world should be cursed. What does that mean? Malamach Noyach Hatzadik Bechiach Bahem. Noyach is telling, is giving them Musar. He's telling them Tarchicha. Va'imalahem Asutrova. He's telling them, do Trova, Vimlav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe Aleichem as a Mabul. And if not, then Hashem is going to bring on you a Mabul. But we know that's why he was building the Teva for 120 years to have time to warn people. And Hashem is going to cause your dead bodies to float on the surface of the water like bags full of air. Shenemo, kalu al pnei mayim, as the pasuk says, it's light on the surface of the water, meaning that your bodies are going to be floating like a light, insubstantial bag on the surface of the water. Veloy oid, not only that, not only that, your fate will serve as a klola for everybody who comes after you. People will say, it should happen to you, like happened to the people of the Mabul. Shenemo, to kulam chol kosim ba'aretz, as the pasuk says, their portion in the earth will be cursed. So what we do see, by the way, we see from this that Noach was giving them Musar, and the Medrash also says that when he was building the Teva, and people would come and ask him, why are you building here? He'd tell him Hashem is going to bring a Mabul. Nevertheless, he's still blamed that he didn't work on his generation. Basically, the Rebbe explains he was doing it just to be Yotze. He wasn't doing it, wasn't devoted by Yotze min Alev. He doesn't sincerely care about what's going to happen to them. He's just doing it fine. Hashem told me to build a Teva and to give them Musar, so therefore I'm going to do that, but he's not doing it in a sincere way that's going to be poil on them. And in fact, we see he wasn't able to be poil on any of them. The Gemara continues, Lo Yifne, that pasuk in Iyov continues, Lo Yifne Derech Kromim, he will not turn the way of the vineyards. So what does that mean? Melamatrei Mephanim Derech Kromim. This means that they were going on the paths like in the vineyards, meaning with the crooked paths. You have straight roads and paths, and then instead you have paths that are blazed through the vineyards, where people just go on them and they're like crooked paths. So instead, they Davka chose to go on the crooked paths. There are several different explanations of it. There's an explanation that the Yerushalmi explains that they were Davka having relations with their wives, not in a way of producing children, but just them in order to fulfill their taivus. So therefore, it's compared to, in other words, they weren't so Mephanim Derech Kromim would be on the contrary, that they're not doing in a way of kerem that they want to do to plant a vineyard, to plant, have children, or compared to a vineyard, but rather they're doing it just for their taiva. Omru loy, so the people would say, Omar, or Omru, it says on the side, loy, they would say to him, Umima Akiv, new, you're telling us the marble's coming, so what's holding it back? Why isn't Hashem bring it right now? Omulahem, and Noach would tell them, Pridahas Yeshli Lahoitzi Mikem, because I have one precious dove that I still want to take away from you, namely, Mr. Shelach is still alive, he has to pass away before the marble is going to come. So then in that case, they said, then we're not going to go in the way of the vineyards, meaning we're going to continue doing what we were doing until now. If we anyway are being protected by Mishach Schus, then we have no incentive to do tshuva, and we can continue doing whatever we want. The Gemara continues, Dorash Rava, my dichtiv, is another pasuk from Iyov, Lapid Buz La'ashtos Shanon, a torch of mockery for those, for the thoughts. Guys, we have a few minutes more we're learning over here. Can we take the conversations elsewhere?
This is not a conversation.
Okay, it's something that's, yeah.
We're
sorry. Okay. Fine. So the Lapid Buz La'ashtos Shanon, a torch of mockery for those who are thinking and who are peaceful. Nochay M'moya Dei Rogel, it's prepared for those who are going to stumble with their feet. So what does this mean? Again, Noach is telling them Torchacha. He's telling them words that are as harsh and that are as harsh as torches. He's trying to like burn out the Yetzirah from them. But the Hoyu Boizim Mavazin Oisir, but the people were making fun of him. Lapid Buz, a torch of mockery. He's giving them torches and they're replying with mockery. And they would tell him, Zokin, old man, Teva Zulama, what are you building this Teva for? Omulahem, and he would tell them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Aleichem as a Mabul, because Hashem is going to bring the Mabul against you. Omru, and they would say, Mabul Shalma, what kind of Mabul is Hashem going to bring? Im Mabul Shal Eish, is Hashem threatening to bring a Mabul of fire? Yeshlanu Dava Alisa Shma, we have something named Alisa, which will help us be fireproof. The Alisa might be, So the Aruch explains that it's something that could be used to put out the fire. Marsha says it might be what we learned earlier in the Masechta, the salamandra, this creature whose blood is smeared on a person and makes him fireproof. So whatever the case, the point is they're saying we have something that we have something fireproof that we can prevent the fire from harming us. The imshal mayim umevi, if Hashem is going to bring a flood of water, so it depends. Imina oratu umevi, if Hashem plans to bring a marble of water from underground, yeshla derashoshias chabarzel, then we have large pieces of iron. Large chunks of iron, trying to mechap mamas ha'aretz, that we can cover the earth with, and therefore the water won't be able to come out. V'imin ha'shamayim hu mevi, and if Hashem wants to bring a marble of rain from of water of rain from the heavens, yesh lanu davar v'okev shmoi v'amilav ikish shmoi. We have something called okev, or some say ikish. Whatever it is, it's something that can protect us. It's something that can protect us from a flood of water that would come from shamayim. So they're saying no matter what we're invulnerable. The Aruch explains that okev or ikish is actually a type of sponge that can absorb a lot of water. So we don't say, well, we will put those on our hands and they'll absorb all the water. Omelahem, but Noach answers back, who may be been ikve ragleichem. Hashem will bring the marble from between your very heels. So in other words, you can't cover your heels. You can't cover your feet with iron like that. So therefore, so in other words, Hashem can, Rashi gives two explanations. Maybe an ikve ragleichem can mean Hashem can destroy you with your own shichvas zera. Or the second explanation is Hashem can bring out water. Hashem can bring out floods of water from your very own feet. Either way, the point is you can't cover those with your metal plates. So therefore, no, Hashem is going to get you even if you think that you have ways of bypassing it. Shenema, that's why that pasuk continues. Nochen l'moya deirogo. Hashem is prepared for those who will stumble with their feet. So now we understand the whole pasuk that it's talking about Noach giving them musar and them mocking him in return and him telling them how Hashem is going to bring them out. The Gemara continues in this vein. Omer of Chista, Beroischen Kilkulu, the people of the Dura Mabel, I skipped the line. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Meme Amabel, Koshim Kashich Vazera. In fact, the water of the Mabel was as harsh and thick, right? It wasn't just water, which is very thin, which is a very thin consistency, it was a thicker consistency, like Shich Vazera. Shenema, Nochen, the Maya de Rogel, the pasuk that we just quoted, that is prepared for those who stumble with their feet, meaning people who do Averis with what comes from between their legs, Shechvazera, then they stumble in Avera with it, and the marble is prepared to punish them and destroy them that way. And the Gemara continues, Omer of Chista, Beroischen Kilkulu Ba'avera, Beroischen Kilkulu Ba'avera, they sinned with Roischen, with boiling Zera from Znus, which Zera comes out of the body very hot, over Roischen Nidonu, and they were punished with something boiling, with the water, or the marble was boiling. And we know that it was boiling. The pasuk says that the marble, that the water calmed down. We have by Achashverosh, the king's anger calmed down. So, and anger is spoken of in terms of heat. So therefore we see the water or the marble was hot and then it started cooling down. let's talk more about the marble. The pasuk says, "Vayihi shiva sayamim." After 7 days, umei amarble hoyu al ha'aretz, and the water of the marble started falling on the earth. Mativ mashur shiva sayamim. Why specifically 7 days? Amarav elu yimei avelus from Mr. Shelach. At this point, Mr. Shelach passed away, and you have the 7 days of avelus for Mr. Shelach. L'lamdecha, which teaches you, she'as spaden from tzaddikim ma'ach v'nes ha'poronus. Mooning for tzaddikim delays punishment from coming. So even though, in other words, the marble should have started coming on them right away, but because they were mooning and making a hesped for Mr. Shelach, then therefore that gave them 7 extra days of life. Marshall also adds the point that maybe in other words they can see, look, the tzaddik has passed away. Maybe that should motivate us to do tshuva. So Hashem has given them that one last opportunity to see if that motivates them to do, but they didn't. Davar Acha, another explanation, L'shivas, when it says to the seven, refers to back to the Shivas Yimei Bereshis. Sheshina Aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Seyde Bereshis. At this point, Hashem changed the natural order of the world for the people in the Mabel. Shehoisachame Yotzis Mimayda B'shakas Mizrach. The sun was rising in the west and setting in the east. So this way, they should say, like it was by Maisa Bereshis, maybe this way they'll realize things are going haywire, it's time to do tshuva, but they didn't. So that's what L'shiva Sayyamim means, that it's the 7 days of a year were meant to be like the 7 days of Ma'aseh Bereishis. Balaturim, by the way, points out on the pasuk, the words L'shiva Sayyamim are the same gematria as L'nei Evo Mr. Shalach, which fits with the first opinion over here, that it was the 7 days of mourning for Mr. Shalach. Dabar Acha L'shiva Sayyamim, another explanation of L'shiva Sayyamim, means on the contrary, the days of Yemos HaMashiach, Sheit Imam, Me'en Olam Abba, during those 7 days, Hashem gave the people of the Mabul, the time of the Mabul, a foretaste of the way the world is going to be, L'Olam Abba, Kadesh Yedu, Maktova, Mono Mehen, so they should realize what goodness they're preventing themselves from getting. So, Maharsha explains, actually, that, you know, we said in the Mishnah that in the Madin, that they're not even going to be standing up for judgment. So Hashem wants to show them what they're missing out, that they're missing with them, Olam Abba, that they realize what they're going to lose. So therefore, so now Hashem is giving them that preview here. The pasuk says, "Mikol ha-behema tahora tikach shiva shiva ishvi ishtoi." From all the tahor animals, you should take for yourself 7 man and wife. Whether 7 means 7 animals total, whether it means 7 males, 7 females, different mafoshim. But anyway, the question is, why are we using the word ishvi ishtoi? Ishus la-behema mi-isla. Do animals have ishus? That's not the expression you use for animals. That's what you use for people. Means that Hashem told Noach to take specifically the ones that Averis had not been done with, that are not cross maiden. So therefore they were like people in that sense, but stayed faithful to their mates. So Rashi actually says they actually stayed only with their mates. Maharsha says, animals are usually don't have to have davka one male to one female. But the point is, they stayed within their species. The Gemara says, "Mino Yoda." How is Noach supposed to know which ones are the good ones? Amar Rav Chisda she'avirin lifnei teva. He had the animals walk in front of the teva. Kol sha teva kol tosei. Any one that the teva takes it in, via Jewish, then we know that no aveda had been done with it, and it's good, and the world can be rebuilt from it. V'chol she'en a teva kol tosei. If the teva doesn't take it in and pushes it away and doesn't let it come close, via Jewish, nevda ba'aveda, then we know that aveda was done with it. So therefore, so that's how Noach could tell. Yeah, as I'm saying, that it was automatic. Rabbi Bohu Omar, Ma'osin, Aboy Me'alehen, Rabbi Bohu gives a different answer, that Hashem told them to take only the animals that came on their own, and to begin with, Hashem had that only the animals that come on their own are the ones that were Noy Nev to Behen Aveira, and therefore are kosher for the purpose. The Tvisha was so high that they'll come, that they'll be attracted to it on their own, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Next, the pasuk says, "Asei lachot tevas atzei goifer." Hashem tells the Noach, "Make for yourself a teva of goifer wood." So what? My goifer? What is goifer? Amar of Adar, Amid Dvei Rav Shila in the yeshiva. Rav Shila said, "Zu mavliga." There's a tree that in their times was called mavliga. Va'amilah gulmish. Others say it's another type of tree called gulmish. Mufoshim explained the idea that Rashi brings on the pasuk. It had to be a type of wood which is very flexible, so that it should be able to withstand the harshness of the marble and not break. So it has to be strong but flexible wood. The pasuk says, "Soyhar tassel teva." You should make a soyhar for the teva. So what does that mean? Omer Rav Yechonon, Omer Le'Afarish Bochum Noach, Kvava Avonim Tovus and Algolias, set up in the teva precious stones and pearls, Kadeshiyu Me'iris Lachem Katzaraim, so that it will shine for you as bright as noon. Now the Medrash actually has for the whole week. They're going to be. What? Okay, during the week they also need light. The Medrash actually has two different opinions. Whether it was a window or whether it was precious stones. Actually, the Chizkuni on the pasuk gives an interesting explanation. It was both. It was a window with a prism in it that would reflect and that would reflect the light and bring in more light than you would just have from a plain window. But in any case, Maharsha explains the Gemara didn't want to understand that it means a window because after all the mazolos, the sun and moon and everything weren't functioning normally during the Mabul. So what good would a window do? Therefore, the Gemara's understanding that it means precious stones and pearls that would provide light.
The light comes from one place anyway.
Okay. The pasuk continues, you should complete it to an amma on the top, meaning that the teva should be built with a sloped roof that slopes to an amma on top. So the Gemara explains, that way it will be stable, right? Because that if it's a box shape, if it was a box shape, then it wouldn't be stable. It would fall over like this. When it's narrow on top, then it's stable. Okay, the pasuk says tachtiv shniim u'shlishim ta'aseha. You should make it with first, second, with a bottom floor, second floor, and a top floor. Why do we need three floors? Tana, we're learning a b'raisa. Tachtiv mzevel, the bottom floor was for the waste. Emsoyim lebehema, the middle floor was for the animals. El yoinim la'adam, and the top floor was for the people. So there's there's different mafoshim talk about where was the food stored, for example. The Ion Yaakov explains that it was stored together with the people on the top floor. The Medrash says also the birds were together with the people on the top floor. One interesting point about why the waste was on the bottom floor, why do they need a whole floor for that? There's an interesting explanation. That way the heat rising from it will help keep the table warm. Next, at the end of the marble, the pasuk says, "Vayishalach ha'sa'odav." He sent out the raven, or he let the raven go. So the raven didn't fulfill its mission. The pasuk says, "Vayelach holach v'shoyv," that it went back and forth. So, "Amenashloch shuvan nitzachas heshivoy odav l'noyach." At that point, the raven gave a very powerful argument to Noyach that you shouldn't be sending me. Omeloi says, "Rab chosenani, your master Hashem hates me. Va'atasenesani, and it seems that you hate me as well." Now, ravens don't talk. A number of Mephoshim talk about that. In other words, the way the raven was acting, you can deduce from what it's doing that it means to say the following point. Rab Chosenani, why am I saying Hashem hates me? Minatahur and Shiva, Minatmeim Shnayim. Here Hashem said, from each of the kosher animals and birds take seven, and from the non-kosher ones only two, and I'm a non-kosher bird, so obviously Hashem doesn't like me as much. And you hate me. What are you doing over here? Instead of sending one of the birds, of which there are seven each, and therefore you can spare in case I get harmed or something, in case the bird gets harmed, then at least you have the others to propagate the species. Here you're sending out only me, from which there's only two. If the malach in charge of heat or cold encounters me and I die from heat or cold, won't the world be missing a whole species? Because like this, I won't be able to. There won't be any ravens anymore. So therefore, you don't care if I go extinct. Or maybe you want my wife. Maybe you want to commit znus with her. Which, by the way, the Mephoshim explain, you know, like this, the Gemara is going to say that the raven itself was had relations with its mate in the teva, even though the creatures weren't supposed to. You often find the case when a person themselves is guilty of something, then they accuse somebody else of it. So here, since the raven itself acted in that improper way as far as Tashmish, so therefore he's accusing Noach of that. So Omaloi, so Noach answers, Rosha, b'mutoli nesoli, even the one who's usually allowed to me, my wife, is also for me to have relations in the teva, b'nesoli, a raven, which is always off limits to me, like Koshkin, how much more so that I would have nothing to do with it. So the Be'er Sheva wonder, the Levush rather wonders, I mean, people can't really cross mate with birds anyway, so why would the raven even think of such a thing? So it means that he wants to take the female raven and crossbreed it with some other species of bird. And Noach tells him that no, even Mamutuli, necessarily, I'm not even allowed to crossbreed, we're not even allowed to breed any animals in the table because nobody's supposed to be having relations, how much more so I'm not going to crossbreed your mate with some other type of bird. Okay, the Gemara says, "Manolam denesru." How do we know that they were osir in Tashmish Amita and the Teva? The pasuk says, "Vostel la Teva." After Ovanecha ve'ishtecho and Sheva Necha itach, you come into the Teva, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. So we see that the husbands and the wives are separated. Uchtiv. But then when it comes to the end of the Marble, Hashem tells him, "Same in a Teva, go out of the Teva." After ve'ishtecho ovanecha and Sheva Necha itach, you, your wife and your sons and your sons' wives with you. Va'amar Rabbeichan mikan omru. Since we see that the first time they were told the husbands and wives are separate, and then afterwards we have that the husbands and wives are together, that means that before they were also in Tashmash Amitah, and now they're Mutter. One point being, in other words, that when the world is being suffering and being destroyed, is not an appropriate time for Puri Peribya. However, the Gemara says, "Tananabon and Shloisha Shimshu Bateva." There were three creatures that did have relations in the Teva. V'cholam Loku, and all of them ended up getting punished for it. Kelev, the three are Kelev, V'Orev, V'Chom, the dog, the raven, and Chom, the son of Noach. So what happened with them? Kelev Nitzer. The result is the dog gets tied up. Now, most of the Mefoshim understand that that means when dogs mate, then afterwards there's something and there's something that causes that they can't separate right away. There's a period of time where there's a period of time after they finish mating when the dog can't detach himself from his partner. So that's a very humiliating thing. Yeah, okay, but it's a humiliating thing. It means, in other words, like their tashmish is very public and. Okay, whatever. There was a different explanation that niksha means that dogs are commonly tied up, as in people have them as pets, or people have them as guard dogs or whatever, and they keep them tied up. Anyway, that was the dog's punishment. Orev rock, the raven spits, meaning in other words, how the ravens mate, not in the normal way, but rather he spits out the zera into the female's mouth, which is an unusual, unnatural way of doing things. Chum lokah b'orev, and Chum was punished with a skin that Cush, who was black, who was dark skin, came from him. And in fact, the Yad Ramah says, so why dafka chum? Why not noyasa? Why dafka knan? Why dafka kush? Why not noyasa? Why not chum's other children? And he says, maybe that's the point. He said that chum had relations with his wife in the Teva. Maybe kush was conceived from that, and therefore he's dafka the one who became black.
The age, when you have the age, sometimes the age can cause that he couldn't, he's with his wife for in the right age.
All of them, none of them were supposed to be having relations in the Teva, no matters of ages, no nothing. Chum is not supposed to do it, and therefore he did wrong, and he was punished. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.